各位菩萨早安，阿弥陀佛。
Good morning, everybody. 阿弥陀佛。
很久不见了哈、从上半年到这个音响可能要再调小一点。好，我们去年呢，有讲这个大慧普觉禅师的语录呢，终胜七个样。然后今年呢，就是这个时间下半年呢，我们继续接着再继续来讲，跟大家分享大慧普觉禅师语录。
So, I haven't seen you guys for a long time. So last year we talked about Master 大慧普觉's seven letters to Chan for Chan practitioners. Now we're going to talk about the record of Chan Master 大慧普觉。
那我们再来复习一下，因为我们去年有讲过，那我们再复习一下，就是大慧中高禅师呢，他是在1089到1163年的一个宋朝的高僧，那距离现在呢大约还不到1000年。那么他是属于禅宗里面的灵济宗杨岐派的一位禅师。那他主要呢，他自己开创了就是看话头的这个禅修的方法，然后呢，所以是在禅宗史上非常重要的一位禅师。所以呢，我们知道禅宗呢，他主张的是顿悟教义，那就是顿修顿悟，好，不是渐修啊。那我们现在的这个就是末法的时代呢，属于是渐修顿悟哈。那么这个特殊的这个教义呢，发展成师徒之间呢，它一个机缘的问答教学方式，所以呢，生产出特别就是有特色的一个顿式的禅修的方法，看话头。那这个看话头呢，在禅宗呢发展到非常极致高峰，那也是中国禅呢非常独有的这个禅法。
So first of all, we're gonna recap a little. Chan Master 大慧普觉 he was born in his teaching period in his life 1089 to 1163. He was an eminent monk in the Song Dynasty.He also was the 12th generation of the Linji school and Yangqi branch of the Chan Buddhism. So he was the dominant figure of the Linji school during the Song Dynasty. 大慧 introduced the practice of 看话头 Kan is the direct literal translation from Chinese. It means watch, investigation. And the meaning is investigating.The critical phrase of a koan story. So the teaching method of a Chan school derived from the sudden enlightenment to causal Q&A, which is a special dialogue between master and students. Then it evolves to a special Chinese Chan method of kan hua tou.
所以大慧普觉禅师的这部语录呢，在中国的禅宗史上呢，是其中一部非常重要的语录。那么，因为这个大慧中高禅师呢，他的这个看话头方法呢，接引到非常多的士大夫学禅修，那么影响了当时的整个社会，所以呢，把这个佛教的禅法呢，更广泛的推广到社会，乃至于生活当中，所以呢，这个。禅修的这个方法呢，就是话头这个方法，它整整影响了这个整个中国的佛教有8个世纪这么长的时间，而且是整个佛教里面丛林的主流的方法，就是这个禅修的方法。
So the record of Chan Master 大慧普觉 is a very important Chan record. It established the new system of a Chan teaching method.And broaden the influence of Chan to the Chinese scholars in society. At that time, because and this widespread of Kan Hua Tou's teaching, so a lot of scholars and came over and to learn this special method from Da Hui. So therefore, all the a lot of Chan scholar and learn from him. So it had a greatly impact in the mainstream of the Chan teaching for 8 centuries.
那大慧普觉禅师的语录呢，收录在我们去年有讲过，就是在第47册的大正藏里面。
So last year we also mentioned the record of a Chan Master 大慧普觉 is all collected in the Taishu Tripitaka volume, and so in the 47th volume number 1998A.
那么总共呢，这部语录呢分成30卷。
So this chapter actually have this record has 30 chapters.
那我们今天呢要跟大家分享呢第一卷到第四卷的这个大慧普觉禅师呢，他住在这个金山能人禅院，当时所讲的一些对禅众的重要的话头的语录。
So today, we're going to talk about chapter 1 to chapter 4 of this record of Chan Master 大慧普觉 from 金山能人 Monastery, where he was spread the Dharma in 金山 Monastery.
那么我们知道师父创办了什么山？八股山啊，他在哪里？金山啊。金山是在哪一个地方？台湾嘛，台湾的新北市金山。好，那在这之前，就是在金山之前，还有没有人在金山这个地方住过？有吗？有一位金能，不是，叫什么？有一位法师捐了这个地给法鼓山，有没有？有没有？有没有？好，全度法师，好，对对，所以在这个金山，就是法鼓山的之前呢，有全度法师在这边，好，那一样的哈，你看哦，大慧普觉禅师就是大慧中高禅师哈，他在住金山之前呢，一样呢，在他之前还是有法师在这边住过，好，只是呢。他把这个金山呢，因为他进驻了之后，把这个金山的地方呢，在这边弘扬看话头呢，让整个金山呢的这个修学禅法的人越来越多。那我们在讲这个语录之前呢，我们要先来了解金山它是一个什么样的地方？那在它之前呢，有哪一些法师住过？
So we know, and our Shifu and established Dharma Zhuang Mountain in Taiwan, Jingshan Golden Mountain, Golden Mountain City. And so before Master Sun Yan established Dharma Zhuang Mountain, and there was already have a small monastery established in the same location.And that 法师 lived there was 全度法师。全度法师 donate that place and to 师父 and 师父 and then build Dharma Zhuang Mountain. And in the similar way, 大慧宗高 and was living in 金山 and 金山 Monastery. So and but before that, and there's a lot of master lives there.And already spreading the Dharma. And because Da Hui Zonggao, it was so famous promoting Kan Hua Tou. And therefore, so Jing San, it became very famous. But before we go into Da Hui Zonggao's record, we want to understand a little bit about Jing San Monastery's history.
好，所以金山这个地方呢，在唐朝的时候，就天宝年间呢，有一位法清禅师呢，在此呢结庵修行，然后呢，当时呢这个冬天下了大雪，然后这个禅师呢他就入定，然后刚好有一位这个樵夫，就是砍柴的菩萨，然后呢这个看到有一位修行人在这边修行， 于是呢，他就告诉了当地的那一些乡民们哈，然后这些乡民们呢，都纷纷的呢供养这一位法师哦。然后一直到遇到有一位叫无真菩萨的，他就把他自己的这个房子哈，他把他自己的房子呢布施出来，然后让这位法师修行哈，所以把他的房子改建为庵，就是比寺院的规模再小一点的。庙就要安，所以呢这个法师就在这边修行，所以最初金山呢就是法清法师在这边修行，然后一直呢历经这个就是唐朝历经很多代的这个皇帝之后呢，这个大唐唐大历四年的代宗的这个时候呢，也让皇帝知道了这边有一位有修行的法师在这边，于是呢这个皇上呢就赐名呢这个地方呢叫金山禅寺，所以他最早的这个名字呢是金山禅寺，然后在中国杭州这个地方。那一直到唐朝的这个会昌二年的时候，大概就是西元843年的这个时候呢，遇到了唐武宗灭佛，就是把佛教的很多出家人还有一些重要的经典呢都把它毁坏，所以当时的这个金山禅寺呢它也不免被破坏，所以到了遇到了这个唐武宗的这个时候呢，就是金山禅寺它被毁了，所以呢这个地方呢就渐渐的衰落。
In the Tang Dynasty, which is the 724 BC, Chen Master Fa Qing came to Hangzhou Jinshan, and where he built a better hut to practice. So in that winter, there was a huge snowstorm, lasts about 10 days. But the master and was in deep samadhi, it was not affected by the weather at all. So a woodcutter and passed by had seen master, it was in deep samadhi. So he spread the news into the village people. And then people was deeply moved and began to make offerings to the master. This local official called Wu Zhen, he also offered his house and to remodel into a meditation hall. So in 769 BC, Emperor Dai Zong ordered a local official to build a smaller monastery and for Master Fa Qing, and gave the name of Jinshan Chen Monastery. So that was the first time in this monastery is called Jinshan Chen Monastery. So in 1843 BC, Jinshan Monastery was destroyed in the great anti-Buddhist and prosecution. And why in that anti-Buddhist prosecution? So a lot of monastic people and a lot of sutra was destroyed, and so also our Jinshan Monastery.
一直到了这个唐懿宗的时候，有一位呢，建宗禅师呢，然后呢又进驻在这个寺院里面，重建金山禅寺。当时呢，这个建宗禅师呢，他的盛况也是很空前。你看哦，围屋三百营，就是呢，当时呢，有300间房间这么多，那表示住众是不是多过这300间？所以表示当时的注重也是很多，所以呢到了这个就是陆续这样子到了西宗这个皇帝的时候呢，又改名为潜伏正国院，到了北宋的时候呢，宋真宗呢又赐名承天禅院，神宗的时候呢就是我们大家很熟的这个苏轼，你知道苏轼他呢两度守这个杭州，然后呢三次上这个金山呢，那么他要提倡什么？他要倡改就是治习制，为十方，就是为这个，就是想要改成就是十方住持的这个制度。所以苏轼这样子的提倡有没有成功？有。他有成功，就是这个寺院呢改成就是十方住持，只要呢你有能力，你有德恨呢，你就有可能会被选为 这个寺院的住持，而不是就是用传承的这个方式。所以呢苏轼的这个篡改呢这个成功之后呢，当时呢影响了整个当时的全中国，所以当时的全中国呢也在提倡这个十方住持的这个制度，那到了这个宋徽宗的时候呢，金山禅寺呢又把它改成金山能能禅寺。
In 860 BC, 前 master 建宗rebuild Jinshan Monastery and expand to as big as 300 rooms. 300 rooms in it indicates that there's a lot of people live in this Jinshan Monastery. In 879 BC, Emperor Xi Zong renamed this Jinshan Monastery to Qianfu Zhengguo Yuan. So in 1008 BC, the Song Dynasty, the Emperor Xi Zong, Emperor Zhen Zong, and renamed to Chen Tian Qian Monastery. So in 1086 BC, a very famous poet, Su Shi, was the governor official in Hangzhou. So he changed the auto inheritance method for the abbot for Jinshan Monastery and to the abbot of the Ten Direction method. That means the next abbot is not directly in from the inheritance of the previous abbot. So now he really opened the position to the Ten Direction. Whoever has more capability, whoever has more virtue and merit, and they are capable to become the monastery's abbot of this Jinshan Monastery. So, and because of that, and this method, it was populated to entire country. So in 1117 BC, Emperor Hui Zong renamed Jinshan Monastery to Jinshan Nengren Qian Monastery.
那么一直到了南宋高宗的时候呢，这时候大会宗高呢就入住了这个金山，然后当时呢更盛况空前，来跟宗高学习的这些出家众呢有1700多人，这么多，所以呢有一个这个大家就给这个宗高禅师有一个封一个号，就是灵寂在心，就是让就是宗高让灵寂宗呢再度的这个兴盛，所以有一个外号叫金山宗高，那么大会宗高禅师呢就是进驻这个金山之后呢，他在这个地方呢带大家修行，那他的修行法门就是化头看化头，所以呢这个成为这个划时代的这个禅将，道俗暗莫如洗，就是身俗世众呢都非常的怎么样，非常的礼敬恭敬这个宗高禅师，因为呢他让这个灵寂宗呢再次的兴盛，所以这个宋孝宗的时候呢也亲自呢帮这个金山呢改名为金山兴盛万寿禅师，那这个碑呢到现在呢还保存着。
In 1137 BC, 大会 was expounding the Dharma in Jinshan Monastery. He had about 1700 students attending the lecture. People gave him the name of the person who revived the Linji school and called him Jinshan Zonggao. So at that time, he has that many students and people, monastic people or lay people, and they all learn Dharma from him. So, and it made the Linji school flourishing. In 1158 BC, 大会 promote 看话头, and become the permanent Chan master at that time. The participant of summer retreat were as many as 3,000 people. In 1166 BC, Emperor Xiaozong and renamed the monastery, and then it was using a written calligraphy and to Jingshan Xingsheng Wanshou Chan Monastery. So a monument about that historic story and can still be found in the monastery today.
这就是万寿禅师的这个外貌。
This is the look of a Great Buddha Hall.
这个就是他的禅堂。
This is the Chan Hall.
好，所以呢，大慧中高禅师呢，振兴了金山之后呢，这个到宋朝求法的这些日本的出家众呢，逐渐的越来越多，那么也转向了金山这个地方来求法。所以呢，这个金山的灵济宗杨岐派呢，就是因为这大慧中高这个在这边弘法的关系呢，所以呢把这个灵济宗传到了日本。所以呢，这个金山这个地方，就是在中国这个地方呢，已经成为就是日本灵济宗的这个主体。所以日本的很多的像带回去的茶道啊，还有豆瓣酱啊，这些呢其实都是从中国金山这个地方呢由日本的僧人呢，他把它带回日本去发扬光大。所以茶道呢是从日本呢，是从中国呢带回去，就日本的出家众从中国带回去的，然后再把它研发而成。
So after Da Hui Zonggao revitalized the Jinshan Monastery, the Japanese monk who went to China to seek the Dharma and started to go to Jinshan Monastery. Therefore, the teaching style of a Lingji school Yangqi branch was introduced and spread to Japan. Some of the monastery in Japan nowadays and become the Ancestry Monastery of Japan, Lingji School Yangqi Branch. Japanese tea ceremony and the famous soy sauce and the soy sauce paste in Yuasa, Wakayama, and was originated from Jingshan. The tea seeds and the techniques of making a soy paste and were also brought back to Japan from the monks.
所以金山的这个茶呢，其实不是在大慧中高，就是宋朝的时候就有，其实在唐朝的时候就有了。
So the famous Jingshan tea, it was not really a famous starting from a Song dynasty. Actually, back in Tang dynasty, they already very famous and popular.
所以呢，这个金山的茶宴呢，其实它诞生是在唐朝。然后呢，它的发扬光大兴盛在宋朝。好，为什么？因为大慧中高的关系，好，那这个金山的茶呢，距今大概有1200多年的历史，好。所以呢，当时金山的古刹呢，它是以茶代酒来请客人，所以是一种非常特殊的这个饮茶的一种仪式。
Jingshan tea ceremony actually is very special. It was originated at Jingshan Wanshou Monastery since the Tang Dynasty. And it became very popular in the Song Dynasty. And that's about 1200 years ago. And why is that in Song Dynasty? Precisely because of Da Hui Zonggao. And it was a very special tea ceremony of using tea.Instead of wine to entertain guests.
好，那它这个饮茶呢，有一定的仪式哦。好，那这个仪式呢，大家看有多少个？很多点点哦，总共有十几个哦。好，所以呢，它是用饮茶的方式呢来学佛法，好，然后用茶呢来呢弘扬佛法，好，所以呢。当时呢，这个茶呢，就是大 达到了一种不只是喝茶，就是茶跟佛法它可以结合，乃至于这个禅呢跟茶呢它是一样的，所以就是一味的吼，没有第二味吼。那我们来看吼，它茶呢有一个仪式吼，就像现在日本的茶道也是有一定的仪式。那日本的茶道的这个仪式呢，它其实就是从中国呢带回去，然后发扬光大这样子吼。我们先来看吼，喝茶之前呢一定要张茶榜，就是外面贴一张榜单。大家如果有参加过水陆法会，就会看到我们水陆法会外面一定会贴一张榜单，榜单就写着谁谁谁参加什么什么什么，然后哪一些仪式这样。就像受菩萨戒，我们外面也会有贴一张红色榜单，对不对？比如说总护是谁，然后谁是营里营战士这些等等。那一样的，这个在当时呢，金山要喝茶的时候呢，他这个在茶堂外面呢，他一定会张贴一张榜单。那今天的就是说参加这个茶会的呢有谁，然后第二个呢我们来看，第二个就是设茶席，就是呢喝茶以前呢就是要摆桌子啊，铺桌巾，然后有一些茶具就是要摆设好。那第三个呢，就是摆设好之前，就是等于茶会开始之前呢要先击鼓，有没有很正式？有哦。通常我们在佛门里面击鼓是什么？法，对，法击鼓法会开始，但是你看我们在寺院一大早四点多击鼓是什么？叩钟击鼓就是什么？清晨嘛，请大家要苏醒了，准备呢一天要精进用功。所以这个是一大早，然后法会开始，重要的一些法会，像受戒啊，还有法会这些等等，都会击鼓。好，那这个那一样的哈，喝茶呢，你看哦，他也是真的是把它当成是一个正式的一个仪式，所以他在喝茶以前要先击这个击鼓。好，啊，击鼓要做什么？就是要准备要开始的哈，昭告大众要开始，请大家呢就要集合到这个茶堂里面哈。然后击完鼓之后呢，就开始研茶、研磨茶，研茶啊，煎汤哈，就是要磨这个茶叶，然后呢要煮这个茶水，然后之后呢就要离请主持哈，离请主持就是请。当时寺院的住持或是主持这一次茶会的出家众呢，他们就要离请，他们纷纷进入这个茶堂。所以恭请他们入堂之后呢，你看到恭请入堂之后还要先什么？上香礼佛，很正式，然后上香礼佛完之后呢，就开始什么点茶，就开始泡茶。那当时，他们喝的茶呢是有带茶叶的。我们现在喝的茶都是只喝什么？不喝，就是只喝茶汤，不吃茶叶嘛。那当时是连茶叶一起喝，所以就是日本的那个什么抹茶，日本的抹茶就是把茶叶喝进去的。好，那开始呢就开始泡茶了。泡茶之后呢就分给大家，就是分给这些与会的要喝茶的客人，开始每人都分到茶。那分到茶之后就开始他们不是只有喝茶，他们就开始呢讨论佛法，就会说这些机锋啊禅锋的这些话，开始说偈，然后吃茶，然后呢就是谈论佛法。那谈论完之后呢，他就会开始品茶品点，就是会开始讨论说今天的茶如何，然后你喝的茶呢是什么样的感觉，这些，都会开始分享。然后喝完之后呢就是 主客谢茶，就是客人谢谢主人，啊，主人哎也谢谢客人这样子，所以是完整的一个茶的这个茶会的一个仪式。
So a Jinshan Tea Monastery, they use that ceremony to expound the Dharma, and also to spread the Dharma. Also, people will learn the Dharma. So the tea and chan is one flavor. So you can see this is about 12 green dots, and that's actually is the proceeding of the entire ceremony. And from the very first left top one, and so they actually pose the tea ceremony and schedule. And what goes on in the ceremony, and who's attending the ceremony, who is the main guest, and who will be the main person, main host, and to lead the ceremony. So it's very clearly in this posting outside the tea hall, and then tells people what is the exact proceeding. And the next one, is to set up the seat. And at the table and for a tea ceremony. And then the next, and before the ceremony starts, and they were going to hit the drums. And it shows that this is a very, very formal ceremony. So in the monastery, and what is the meaning in the morning about 4 o'clock, hitting the bell and hitting the drums? And it literally is to tell people to wake up and to practice diligently today. So before any ceremony and then hit the bell and then hit the drum, it's literally and then tell people the ceremony is about to start and please and proceed to the tea hall. And so next, and they are grinding the tea. And so they drinking the tea is very special a style. And so now we drink tea, it's a tea leaf on the side, and we just drink the water. But in the back then, in this tea ceremony, and they grind the tea to powder. And then so it's like almost like a Japanese mocha. And so when you're drinking this tea, actually and the tea leaf is already grind to the powder you drink with it. And so, and then the next is invite the host of a ceremony. And the next, and invite all the guests and come to the tea hall. And then so, then next, and they're going to light the incense and offer to Buddha and then do the prostration to Buddha statues. And then they start brew the tea and then they give it to all the guests and offer tea. And while they were drinking the tea, and they will say some verses, and the host and the guests will engage in this course of Q&A in a special dialogue. So the teacher, the host may ask questions, and the guests respond the questions. And so, and then and next, and they're going to analyze the taste of the tea and the feel and with the tea taste. And then the last, and the representative of the guests and will show a gratitude to the host. So the tea and chan are one flavor.
所以这个整个茶宴的仪式当中呢，贯穿了整个大会中高的这个看话头的这个禅法哈。所以师徒还有宾主呢之间呢，他们是用参话头的方式来问答交谈。好，所以呢，这个机锋禅语。所以呢，当时是用以喝茶的方式来谈论佛法，然后呢修学禅法，所以呢是以茶呢来弘扬这个禅法，所以这是金山这个茶宴的精髓所在。
In the tea ceremony, 大会's method 看话头 is always present throughout the whole time between teacher, students, hosts, and guests. They use the style of investigating 话头to engage in conversations. They speak in the language of Chan and full of wisdom. Using tea ceremony to learn and spreading the way is the quintessence or the heart of a Jinshan tea ceremony.
好，所以金山茶呢，在唐宋已经很有名了。到了南宋的时候呢， 有一位日本佛教的高僧叫南浦昭明呢，他呢到中国呢修学佛法呢，那么归国的时候呢，他把金山的这些茶的这个种子，还有一些饮茶的这个器皿啊，并把一些碾茶的这些方法传入到日本，所以呢影响到日本的茶道呢非常的深远，所以日本的茶道呢就是从中国金山这个地方呢带回去的。
金山 tea become very famous since the Tang Dynasty. In the Southern Song Dynasty, Japanese monk 南浦绍明 came to China to study Buddhism. He bought the special tea seeds of Jinshan and the tea drinking set back to Japan. And he also bought the special tea making method, grinding the tea and making the tea method back to Japan.And that had a huge influence to tea ceremony in Japan.
好，这是金山的茶。好，那在当时呢，宋朝呢，有两位高僧哦。这两位高僧的方法呢，一直传到现在哈。那么一个是住在金山的，就是提倡看话头的大慧中高。那么一位呢，是住在天童寺的这个弘智正觉禅师。他提倡的方法就是默照禅，所以呢，这两寺呢都是成为现在日本佛教，一个是临济宗派与朝东宗派的这个主题。
So, in the Song Dynasty, Master 大会宗稿 promote 看话头 in Jinshan Monastery, while another famous monk, 弘智正觉, who was the main promoter of a silent illumination practice.In Tiantong Monastery. So, and their silent illumination and Kan Hua Tong method is still, we are still using today. So these two monasteries then become the ancestry monastery for Linji and Cao Dong School.
好，介绍这个金山的这个茶之后呢，接着我们要进入普觉禅师呢，他在金山人人禅院呢对大众开示的这些禅修的语录。
So after we introduced the tea of Jinshan, so now we're going to go to the record of 大慧普觉 Master 大慧普觉 and his teaching to practitioner in Jinshan Monastery.
好，那么开始的第一卷哈，当晚小餐，然后这个大慧中高就对着这个大众们、禅众们就开始讲。他说这个佛教最高的真理呢就在眼前，只是呢我们还没有办法亲自的看见。好，然后如果呢你要真正的看见就是这个至高无上的这个真理呢，它的性体呢，其实呢不需要远离身，就是不需要远离这些身啊色啊，语言啊，你就可以看到哈。然后呢，大慧中高就举起了他的这个拂尘，拂尘就是一个长长的白白有毛的这个东西哈。等一下我们会解释什么叫拂尘啊，就是拂子的意思。他就举起了这个他的拂尘呢，就说：“哎，这个就是色。”好，然后他就拍了一下这个他的这个禅床。因为以前丛林呢打坐呢就是坐在整个这个禅凳禅板上面哈，他就拍了这个禅床呢，他就说这个就是身。然后呢我今天呢念念嘴巴念念有词的呢，这个就是语言。
So during an informal sermon at night, 大慧 said, The supreme way is right here before your eyes, but you are not able to perceive it yet.If you want to perceive the true essence of the Supreme Way, you do not depart from form, sound, and words. Then Da Hui raised the horsetail whisk and said, This is the form. Then he knocked on the meditation bench and said, This is the sound. Now, I'm just muttering some words. That is the language. Back then in the monastery, and everybody was sitting on the meditation branch. So he, that's why he was in the meditation branch.
好，刚才有提到哈，大会中刚举起的这个浮子哈，浮子又叫浮尘啊。大家有看到照片吗？啊，照片这个就是哈，这个一个白白长长的哈，啊，这个有时候是用植物的这个纤维做的，还有时候是用动物的毛做的哈。那么在戒律里面呢，允许呢比丘可以拿这个浮尘呢。那这个浮尘的功能是什么？可以赶一些蚊子、苍蝇，还有一些驱尘。可是呢，在这个禅宗的中国的这个禅宗里面呢，通常是住持或者是主要的人才可以拿这个浮尘，这表示一个地位的象征，就表示他可以开上堂说法才可以拿这个。
So now you can see this horse tail whisk, or some people call a fly whisk. So you can see the picture. So the hair, and sometimes use the animal hair to do it, and so to make it, and some of them maybe use the fiber of some plants to do it. In the preset, and only bhikkhu and can hold on to this whisk, and also in Chan. And usually is the abbot of the monastery or some very important teacher in the monastery and will be able to hold this whisk. It also represents the rank in the monastery and whoever be able to hold the whisk.
好，接着呢，又继续哈，他说，那到底什么呢？是至高无上的真理，真实的这个体性呢？然后大会中刚呢就喝了一声，然后接着他要继续说，他说见闻觉知呢，即非见闻觉知，所以并没有另外一个什么声啊、色啊之类的东西。如果说我们可以了悟呢这个中的一个真理意义呢，那么性体跟作用呢，其实不需要去区分，所以根本不需要去区分。那如果真的要予以区分，如果你真的要分的话呢，就好比呢，比如说天上下雨呢，地上一定会湿嘛，那雨过天晴呢，那太阳一定会出来。那这边呢指的这个小月呢，就是29天。大月就是30天，是指中国的农历哈，农历的月份哈。那如果呢，不要去区分呢，就好比呢，金刚帮这个土地神呢擦一擦背，才一擦一下，这个骨头呢就露了出来。
So, what is the true essence of the Supreme Way? 大会 shouted, "Hut!" The sight and sound and perception is precisely the know the sight, sound, and perception. There is no other sound or form that can be shown. If you can realize the true meaning of this, then there is no need to distinguish between the essence and function. If you insist to distinguish between them, then it's just like the ground is wet after rain. The cloud dissipates after sun comes out. Long months have 30 days, and short months have 29 days. Here, the months we talk about is in the lunar calendar. There is no question about them. So if you do not discriminate against them, then it is just like using diamond to rub against the back of a local land god statue. It's like a throne, that kind of statue. So, and those are made of clay. So if you use diamond to rub against that clay made statue, and the inside will be revealed no time.
接着重点在后面，他说接着呢，大会中高又接着在讲，他说习字的就是以往的过往的这些修道的人呢，他修行到最后呢， 就是参话头的时候，修行到最后呢，他就是最关键的那一句，就是要破生死的牢关。然后这个最后一句呢，非常的重要，就是可以让你大彻大悟的一个关键。那这一句呢，也是让你可以呢由凡转圣的一个重要的一句。好，那这一句到底是什么？这 最后的最后这一句就是可以破生死牢关到底是什么。那么大慧忠高就停了一阵子，然后他就说，接着他接着说说，不要再讲梦话了。然后他拍了这个禅床呢，禅凳呢，然后就下座了。
So the key point is here. 大会 continue. The sages said the last chain gate is very tough to break through. That is the last gate to disconnect the deluded ordinary people and the awakened sages. So what is this last chain gate? 大会 paused for a while, then said,don't talk about the dreams. So he slapped the meditation bench and got off the seat.
好，那什么是牢关？牢关呢，在中国的禅宗里面呢，有提到三关。
So what is the last chain gate? So in the Chan school, and there is the three gate of Chan.
就三个关卡，那这三个关卡呢，我们来看一下哈。第一个是出关，第二个是重关，第三个呢是生死的牢关。所以刚刚那段文呢，讲的是最后一关，生死的牢关。
So the three gates are first gate, double gate, birth and death gate. So on the previous slide, it talked about the third one.Birth and death gate.
好，我们首先来解释什么叫禅宗的这个参话头的出关。出关呢，在师父的这个教话头的这本书里面有提到，参话头有四个层次。我们去年有讲，前年有讲过哈，大家还记得有哪四个层次？第一个，你要选一句话头，就是你要选择跟你相应这句话头。然后呢，一直用下去，用着用着呢，你对这句话头开始感到呢，想知道就进入了什么问话头，你要问这句话头，让这句话头给你答案。然后问着问着，这个疫情很浓的时候呢，你就会进入呢，被整个疫情笼罩之后，就会进入第三个层次，叫参话头。好，那参话头参破了呢，就是这个同体脱落的时候呢。就是进入这个出关，破你的本参。破本参的意思就是说，你从头到尾就这一句话头用到底，乃至呢，你过去式也是可以用这一句话，但是这一世呢，一定肯定的，你一定是用这一句话头，然后呢，来参破，就是呢，参破了什么？第七世，第七世叫莫那世，又叫什么？我执事，所以第七世是以第八世为执着为我，所以破了这个初观，就等于你已经什么证得无我。好，先讲。
So the first gate. So the first gate. What is the first gate? So this first gate is using a 话头 investigating 话头。So last year we talked about there's four steps about investigating 话头. First, you choose one 话头, one critical phrase, and you are more accurate to. And then you continue to use. So, and then in the beginning, you just reciting the 话头, and you may not have any dull sensation from the 话头. So the more you get into it, and you give rise to some dull sensation. So you start asking the 话头. Why is that?I have to know. I must know. Regardless this lifetime, I have to know. So, and the more and more you're engaging into asking 话头, and then you become investigating 话头. and investigating 话头 and until and then the Tao sensation is going to become a Tao mass, and then finally you break through the 话头 So and that's why in here we talk about break through the original investigation. So and also break the seven consciousness, which is the mana vijnana. And mana vijnana is the vijnana of have a discrimination. So you break through the seventh consciousness.
那么初观呢，就已经到达了师父的参话头第四个层次，就是开悟以后的看话头。那么看话头以后悟后，我们知道悟后开悟以后才是真正修行的开始。如果是以禅宗来讲，所以开悟以后呢，师父说还要保任，那保任就是继续还要再用这个话头，所以叫看话头。那么开悟以后呢，参话头的人呢，他还是会陆陆续续有一些疑情。好，那么你大疑呢就会有大悟，小疑呢就会有小悟，所以在这个破重关的这个阶段呢，他会有很多的大大小小的这些疑情要破。所以呢，悟后起修呢，就是破重关的这一个阶段呢，你呢小疑就可以破，然后大疑呢一样可以破。所以呢，烦恼呢就是纷纷的破，然后你破一分烦恼，就能够证一分什么真如，也就是能够显现你的佛性呢，又再多显现一分了。
So. 师父has a very complete teaching about Hua Chou method. So after you break through and the Ball Mass, and then so and you become the and you enter into the fourth level of Hua Chou practice, which is watching the Hua Chou. So and that is enlightenment. So the real practice begins after enlightenment. So then at that time, and you need to keep, you may still have a dull sensation. And so you may have a small one or big one. And you just continue working on Hua Tou and break through them. And so, and also the more vexation you break through, and the more true suchness you gain. So in here, the double gate. So continue to practice after enlightenment. Several vexations and reveal the true suchness.
所以到了最后一关呢，叫生死的牢关呢。那么这一关呢，就是它可以破除呢你无始的无明。那无始的无明破除完之后呢，你就证得清净的法身。就是你破掉了这个生死牢关呢，你就是看到你自己的佛性。
So the last gate, the birth and death gate.So here, sever the ignorance since time without beginning, and enter the complete pure Dhamma body.
Okay. 好，这个是禅宗讲的三观。好，接着呢，这个大会忠告又上堂又开始开示的哈。他说祖师道。这边的祖师道指的是三祖生忏大师，他曾经有说过，他说假如呢你的心呢一念不生，就是说你的心呢一心不生，万法无咎，就是说万法呢就没有办法生起，那万法呢既然没有办法生起呢，你的心呢就无从而生，就是你的心呢就不会生起。所以呢能缘的心呢，依所缘的境呢，而什么？而熄灭。然后呢，所缘的境呢，依能缘的心呢，而成寂。好，所以换句话说，就是外境呢，因为心，就是能缘的这个心，而成为有外境。好，那因为这个心呢，也因外境呢，而成为了心，所以呢，互为有关系。
So next, Da Hui ascended the hall and said to the assembly, the third patriarch, Sen Chan, said that, if you don't give rise to even one thought in the mind, then myriads of Dharma will have no causes to arise. If there is no myriads of dharmas, then the mind will not arise. The abiding mind sees with the perished conditions. The abiding conditions are quiet with the ceased mind. It is because the discrimination of the mind, then all phenomena become the external conditions. The mind accords to the external conditions become the deluded mind.
好，所以这段文呢，我们用图解呢再来解释一下哦，这样看大家比较清楚。
So we're going to use this graphics and this chart to explain the previous teaching, so it is easy to understand.
所以当你的心呢不生呢，其实万法呢就没有办法生起哦。既然没有万法呢，心就无从而生。
So if you not even give to rise to one thought of the mind, so myriads of dharma will not have a causes to arise. Since there's no myriads of dharma, the mind will not arise.
好，所以呢，这个能缘的心呢，依这个所缘的境呢而熄灭哦。然后所缘的这个境呢，因能缘的心呢而寂灭哦。所以呢，心跟境呢，它是互为关系的。所以呢，外境呢，因为心而成外境。如果没有这个心呢，就没有这个外境。
The abiding mind is perished from the phenomena. The phenomenon is quiet from the mind. The phenomenon is created by the mind to become phenomenon. The mind encounters the phenomenon to aware the mind.
很到色。所以重点呢，大家有没有得到一个结论？是什么问题？心境，就是因为有心才有境，如果没有心就没有境。所以重点呢，一个结论就是什么？我们修行呢，要修到什么？悟心啊。所以重点呢，这一段话的重点就是要我们修行达到无心。好，达到无心呢，你就没有任何哦有能所对立的这个关系。好，所以呢，你就是外境，外境就是你，所以你不会分为有你跟有境。所以呢，要修到无心，所以你都不会起任何的烦恼。因为通常我们会起烦恼，是因为有一个对立的。像有一个主要的我，然后有一个对立的像让我起烦恼。
So that sounds like a tongue twisting. So what is the key point of the slide? So because we have an abiding mind, so and then it's all created by the mind, and so give rise into the phenomenon. So and our final goal of a practice is no mind.So what does that mean? So and there's no self and against the environment. There's no subject and object. There's no subject duality. And so that is no mind.
接着大会中高又讲了，他说，历代的这些祖师呢，就是住持啊，哈，这些主要的人，常常会对这些心跟境呢做一些。啊，他们自己的见解。那金山即不然，就金山就说，大会中高呢，他不这么认为。哦，他说眼呢不能看见自己，就是因为我们的眼睛是长在前面还是后面，还里面。我们眼睛都长前面，对不对？所以我们都会看到别人的不是嘛。哦，所以这边中高有讲，他说我们的眼睛不能看到自己。然后呢，我们也不用刀呢去割自己。好，还有呢，吃饭的时候是为了什么？要治疗我们饥饿的这个病嘛。好，然后呢，口渴了要喝什么水？好，或者是饮料？好，因为要治疗什么口渴？好，然后这边呢，大会中高有提到呢，这个灵济跟德山，灵济就是灵济义玄禅师， 然后跟德山的宣鉴禅师呢，他们两位禅师特别的狂迷什么，而且他们费尽了心思，他们用什么棒喝的这个方法呢来教大家。然后那个中高禅师就说，诶，如果呢今天呢把这个棒呢拿走，然后把这个鹤呢抛弃，好，看看这些哦，这个什么梦八郎汉的意思就是说，无视呢生非的人，这些是当时的这个来形容无视生非的人，叫做梦八郎汉。他说如果把这些棒啊拿走啊，把这些鹤啊抛弃呢，那看看这些无视生非的人该如何是好，就是无视生非人就没有什么，没有着力点了。
All patriots has their own teaching styles in their monastery about the mind and the external environment of phenomena. But I'm not like that to insist my own teaching style. My eyes cannot see myself. See, we know our eyes and the where is the position we usually see outside. We cannot see ourselves inside. And a knife cannot cut itself. Eating meals is to relieve hunger. Drinking water is to quench thirst. But 临济义玄 and 德山宣鉴 are so devoted and exerting so much effort to promote the teaching style of shouting and striking with incense board. If incense board is taken away and the shouting is stopped, what will these deliberately provocative of troublemaker will do? They don't know what to do.
好，这是大会中高在讲解当时呢，这些修行棒喝的人呢，只是在形式上，并没有在心地上用功。他就是在趁着大堂说法的时候，劝勉大家可能就是不要再变成落入形式上的这种修行。
So the reason of that, and he say, when you learn 话头 and then don't fall into the formality and shouting and striking with the incense board, and you have to diligently work on your mind.
好，接着呢，进入第二卷呢，大会中高呢，这个上堂又开始讲了哈。他说，颠倒想生呢，生死心呢就继续相续。就是你只要这个颠倒想，你的生死就会不断的轮回继续下去。那你这个颠倒想呢，就是等于说你这些无明呢，如果断灭了之后呢，你的生死呢就会不会再轮回。好，那生死的这个绝处，就是生死停留的那个点呢，就是涅槃的处，空处。那涅槃的空处呢，难免呢会有一些岁末的这些支障哈，作障哈，就是说涅槃的空处呢，难免呢会有一些维系的东西还在。那这些维系的东西到底是什么哈？涅槃，我们以一般教理来讲，涅槃就是已经都没有了嘛，已经是空的嘛。那为什么大会中高还会说涅槃的空处？难免会有一些小屑屑，那小屑屑到底是什么？然后接着大会中高又讲，他说呢，白云可以来青山，青藏的就是青山。他说明月呢，却难叫他下一天。
大会，so now we're going into the chapter 2. So 大会 ascend the hall and said to the assembly, when the inverted view is arisen,then the birth and death continues. If the inverted view is perished, then the birth and death cease. Where is the cessation of a birth and death? There is the emptiness of nirvana. Where is the emptiness of the nirvana? There is dust in the eyes, obstructions. Since the nirvana is already empty, how can it be still dust in the eyes, as obstructions. Those are dust. It's very, very fine dust. And why is that? It's already empty. Why still have some small, very fine dust? White cloud can flow to the green mountains freely, but the bright moon cannot come down from the blue sky.
大家看到这一段文，短短的没有多少个字，大家看到了什么？颠倒，生死，然后呢，生死的另一面是什么？涅槃。好，那中高禅师呢有提到涅槃，然后呢又难免什么有眼中穴。为什么会有眼中穴？你看哦，生死跟涅槃把它分为二，一般的人会觉得我断了生死我才可以证涅槃，其实涅槃有没有涅槃，有没有生死，没有。所以这眼中穴呢就是什么执着涅槃为我，就是有一个我可以涅槃，所以这就是岁末智障的眼中穴。我们把生死跟涅槃分为二，其实呢没有涅槃也没有生死。
So previously we talk about inverted view, birth and death and nirvana. So it seems like after I served a birth and death, then I become be able to attain the nirvana. So why it says it is a fine dust in the eyes? Because I'm abiding to the nirvana. So it actually divided in a serve the birth and death and attain nirvana as two. It's like a steps. And when I be able to serve the birth and death, then I be able to attain nirvana. It's really, there's no birth and death. There's no nirvana. It is me, precisely me. I'm abiding. There's such a thing of a nirvana. So I want to attain nirvana. So, and that is the dust in the eyes, the obstructions.
所以这个眼中穴呢，就是你有一个执着，有一个我可以涅槃。
So the dust in the eye is I am abiding. That is me gonna be able to attain the nirvana.
好，我们再来解释白云青山，明月碧天。
So now I'm going to explain what is white cloud, green mountain, bright moon, blue sky.
好，白云会不会动？好，所以呢，这个大会中高呢，用白云跟青山来比喻呢，一个是不动的佛性、空性，那一个是呢，代表动的，就是白云会飘来飘去，表示生灭的一个现象的来来去去。然后同时呢，又对仗了，用明月跟碧天来譬喻。明月呢，就是代表着我们的佛性跟空性。那碧天呢，就是等于代表这个完空、虚空，就是没有功能的涅槃，等于是一个小涅槃。
So, white cloud can flow freely.It represents the moving, arising, and perishing phenomena come and go. So the green mountain is not moving, it represents the unmoving emptiness, the nature of emptiness of the Buddha nature. So the bright moon represents the nature of emptiness and the Buddha nature. And the blue sky represents the void.Where nothing exists or functionless nirvana.
所以这一段文里面很多重点，对不对？好，所以呢，青山呢代表不动的佛性，还有明月呢也是代表我们的佛性。
So there's a lot of key points in this slide. So the cloud, sorry, the green mountain represent the emptiness, the nature of emptiness and the Buddha nature. And also the bright moon represent the nature of emptiness and the bright moon. The Buddha nature, sorry.
然后大慧中高禅师呢用这个蔽天呢来代表呢完空虚空，就等于是没有功能的一个小涅槃。这小涅槃呢并不是真正证得佛性。
So Master 大慧 used the green mountain represent voidness. This voidness is a lacking of awareness of the environment. The void is like a dead wood and stagnant water, which is dull, cold, unconcerned, indifferent, apathy.
好，那什么叫完空？完空跟真空的差别，我们来看一下哈。完空就是没有功能的小涅槃哈。那完空修行到完空的这个层次，这个阶段，它要呈现一个怎么样子的哈？你看哦，他修行到呢，周遭的一切呢无知，就像枯木死水一般的空，就是呢很冷漠，很枯寂，他的心呢非常的枯寂冷漠。然后对周遭的一切呢漠不关心，一切都没有他的事，这是完空。
So we talk about a green mountain. It means a function. It means a functionless nirvana. What is a functionless nirvana? And that is voidness. It's a lack of awareness of the environment. The voidness is like dead wood and stagnant water.And which is dull, cold, unconcerned, and indifferent, apathy.
那么相对它的这个真空呢，当你体证到真空呢，完全跟完空的状态不一样。完空就是呢，你对一切的万物呢了然于心，就是呢清清楚楚。而且呢，你体证到真空的一个状态呢，你的慈悲心跟菩提心呢。是自然流露的，你的心呢不是漠不关心的。
So the true emptiness is clearly aware of and illuminating all phenomena. And compassion and the body mind is flow naturally.
好，这是上一段文的解释。接着呢，我们要继续。大慧中高继续又在说，在上堂开始又继续在说，他说杀人必须用杀人的刀，活人呢必须用活人的剑，用活人的剑。好，又说呢，古代的这些高僧曾经有说过，他说青罗呢必须要攀附呢一个东西，就是一个青罗，就是那种细细的一种植物，它必须要攀援那个树枝，它才有办法往上，就是它都在攀援在树上面，它才有办法呢直上这个松的这个最高点。那这个白云呢淡泊宁静，那么常常呢就是处在于这个太虚，就是天地之间，所以呢，一切的事物呢，本来没有事。那么呢，只是人呢，自己呢，起心动念。好，那么在这个教典当中呢，有提到，他说凡夫呢，就是一般的人呢，见到呢，一切的万物呢，很容易受到这些万物的支配，就是境。心随境转，所以很容易受到这些万物的支配呢。心随境转之后，然后而起心动念。
大慧 ascend the hall and said to the assembly, "To kill people, it must use the sharp blade that kills people. To save and revive people, it must use the sword that brings people back to life." Then 大慧 continue.Ancient sages said, vines cling on pine branches to reach to the top of the tree. White cloud is quiet and content, appearing in the space. All phenomena is original at ease. It is only because the mind is moving. Then when the ordinary people sees myriads of phenomena, and they are affected and by turn and turned by them.
这一段文呢，两个重点，一个是杀人的刀，一个是活人的剑。这到底是什么？这大会中高他要讲的是什么？
So in that paragraph, there's two key points: the sharp blade that kills people, the sword that brings people back to life. What are those?
杀人呢，不是真正杀掉你这个人哦，是杀掉你的什么？大家程度都很好，杀掉你的烦恼哦。所以这个杀人刀、活人剑呢，在禅宗里面指的就是说，杀掉呢，用智慧的，用你的这个方法哦，用智慧的刀剑呢，斩断你的妄念，然后呢，把你的念头逼到了死角，死角之后呢？就把你的法身救活了，所以叫活人的剑。
So here, the knife and sword is really not used to kill people, it's to sever the vexations. So we use the sword of wisdom, cut off the deluded thoughts, sever all the thoughts, then that will be able to salvage the Dharma body.
所以杀人刀活人剑呢，就是杀掉你的烦恼妄念，把你的念头逼到了死角呢，用这个化头方法呢，让你呢见到你自己的佛性，见到你的自己的佛性呢，就是把你的法身救活。
So and this a sort uses sort of wisdom to sever the vexation and delude the thoughts, and use 化头 and so be able to see the nature, then that will salvage the Dharma body.
接着又讲，刚刚我们是有讲吗？就是呢，人一般的人常常会心随境转，所以而起心动念。所以呢，大会中高有提到，就是说这些常常心呢受万物支配的人呢，就是因为不了解万物的。本质是缘起性空，都不了解空性，所以呢，没办法了解空性，常常呢，对境起烦恼，所以呢，没有办法，不见佛就是难以成佛，就是没有办法看见自己的佛性，然后大会中高又举起他的浮尘，他说，这个浮尘呢，就是像。然后又比另外一个地方，那个是无相。好，然后现在呢，大家在大家眼前的这些身罗万象啊，然后呢，眼睛看到，耳朵听到呢，这一些呢，全部的事物呢，请问诸位有没有去影响到你们？然后大会中高说，既然没有影响到你们。那为什么呢？会随着这些相啊，然后而起心动念
？So since since they do not know the essence of phenomena is empty, therefore it's very difficult for them to achieve the Buddhahood.So ordinary people and the mind, it will follow the external environment and then be affected and turned by. So because they do not know the essence of phenomena is empty, that's why their mind will abiding into these external phenomena and give rise into vexations. And so hence, 大慧 raised the fly whisk and said, this is the form.So what is the formless? The myriads of phenomena that you see and hear are all dharmas. They do not interfere with one another. Since they do not interfere with one another, why your mind affects by these phenomena?
接着呢，大会中高呢又举起了他的拂尘，他说这个是无相。那又怎么样？这个大会中高说那又怎么样？然后既然呢大家呢都不能把握，那又怎么能成佛？他说请问呢，他就请问现场的这个当时这个与会的这些禅众，他说请问到底是古代高僧呢说的对，还是呢这个教典里面说的对？那说的对又对什么？那如果呢大家能够从这个里面呢分辨得出来，那么呢这个释迦牟尼佛呢不在前，弥勒菩萨呢不在后面。虽然呢我这样子讲呢，大家呢难免呢又被呢我牵着鼻子走。
So soon afterwards, and Da Hui raised a fly whisk and said, "This is formless. Then so what? If you cannot grasp this, how can you achieve the Buddhahood? Which is correct, the patriarchs or the sutras? If they both of them are correct, then what? If you cannot distinguish from here these concepts, and then the Shakyamuni Buddha does not come before the Maitreya Buddha. Nevertheless, you are manipulated by me, like a nostril are being tied down by my fly whisk and cannot move freely."
所以呢，这段文就是在讲，大家呢，不了解相，它是空性的。所以呢常常会把相当真，所以呢把相当真呢就会就举这个佛嘛，他会举我们大家都知道释迦牟尼佛在我们这个娑婆世界成佛，然后呢弥勒菩萨是即将在多少56亿7000万年再来，他说如果你能够懂无相这个道理呢，根本就没有什么佛前后之分。
So what is this one says? So because precisely everybody do not understand and form is emptiness, the nature of the form is emptiness. So we all treated the form as real. So and Shakyamuni Buddha achieved Buddhahood in the Saha world. And Maitreya Buddha it will achieve Buddhahood in 50 billion years later.
接着大会中高呢这个上堂又说法了，好，他说呢我今天呢摄粥，就是呢摆设这个粥饭呢供养大众，然后大众呢吃完了这个稀饭呢就一起到这个龙王殿诵经。那为什么要诵经？诵经呢就是为了这个诵这个焰化主荼毗，焰呢就是这个出家众的名字，化主呢就是当时出家众负责雀目的一个指示，所以这个出家众呢他往生呢要去火化，所以诵完经之后呢大家一起帮他去火化，然后呢大会忠告就是说哇这个寺院的事情呢真的非常的繁多，很多事啊。其实齁大会忠告禅师呢就是因为什么随俗要做这些事，其实禅师不需要这些，但是因为礼节上的他就是需要配合这些。然后接着他又说如果是呢达摩祖师呢西来意齁，就是说祖师西来意到底是什么意思？他没有这个功夫，没有这个时间来说。
大会 ascend the hall and said to assembly, I'm offering porridge to the assembly today. After finish eating, we are all going to the Dragon King Hall to join the recitation. The recitation is for this deceased monastic person called Yan. So after the recitation is completed, I invite all of you to join the cremation ceremony. There is a lot of activities. So, Dahui doesn't need to participate in this activity. And because this is the way it is in the monastery, and in a certain ceremony, so he attend this ceremony. So because we have so many activities today, so we do not have time to discuss the true meaning of why did the Bodhidharma coming from the West.
所以这一段文呢，它的重点是什么？好，重点呢就是祖师西来意。这个历代的禅宗语录呢，常常会提到，就是很多弟子都要问他的师父，到底什么是祖师西来意？
So what is the key point of the previous slide, which is that is the true meaning of why did the Bodhidharma coming from the West? Throughout the Chan story, a lot of disciples asked their teachers, what is the true meaning of why Bodhidharma coming to the West?
所以祖师西来意是中国禅宗的一个公案。那为什么大会中高在他的这个语录里面呢会讲到这一句话，而且呢他最后这一句才是重点，他说如果要谈论呢就是祖师西来意呢，我没有那么多的闲功夫来讲什么是祖师西来意。
So the true meaning of why Bodhidharma coming from the WestIt's actually a very famous koan in the Chan school. So, on the previous slide, and Dahui Zonggao said, oh, I don't have that extra time to explain the true meaning of why Bodhidharma coming from the West.
所以呢，在很多中国的这个禅宗语录里面呢，有看到很多弟子问师父，到底什么是祖师西来意？然后你知道这些历代的这些师父都怎么回答弟子？他们分成两类，一类就是呢不回答，我没空，你去问别人。然后另一类回答是什么？另一类回答是什么？就不回答，就不回答。
So, The true meaning of why Bodhidharma coming from the West is a very, very famous koan and throughout the Chan school. And there's a lot of disciples ask the teacher about the true meaning. So, and there's a two kind of answer. And one is, I don't know. I don't have the time to explain. Go ask somebody else. The other one choose to keep silence.
不然就是什么？鸡同鸭讲。就是呢你问他祖师西来意什么，然后他就回你一个无关紧要的，哦，我要去吃饭了，就是一些无关紧要的，就是跟问的问题完全搭不起来的回答。
Or they give you some strange answer. You ask him this question, he answers something else. Or he say, I'm hungry, I gotta go eat.
所以呢，历代的回答大部分都不出这两种，一个就是避而不答，再来就是呢鸡同鸭讲的回答。
So actually, throughout the Chan record, there's only these kind of, most likely are these two kind of answer. One, they choose to keep silence, or they speak something nothing to do about the question.
好，那直到呢有一位叫大梅禅师呢，他呢跟历代祖师回答的不一样。就有一天他的弟子就问他说，师父到底什么是祖师西来意？然后你们猜他怎么回答？ 公告答案哈。大梅禅师呢说的西来无意啊，就只有大梅禅师敢讲西来无意哈。为什么？因为呢，祖师西来意这个公案呢，已经是一个死掉的公案了，就是已经没有生机，就是你用这个也没有办法让你见性的哈，这个公案。所以呢，在旁边的一个禅师听到大梅禅师呢跟他弟子在对话的时候呢，就好像呢一口棺材装着两具尸体。为什么要这样形容？一棺两尸，就是说这两个人的对谈呢毫无生机，毫无意义，所以不要再问下去了，因为这个公案呢已经起不了任何修行的作用。所以呢，大梅禅师就直接回复他的弟子，西来无意，所以你就不用参了。
So most of the Chan Master and give it an answer, saying something totally irrelevant, or and just choose silence and not giving answer. Except in this particular Chan Master called Da Mei. So when his disciple asked him, what is the true meaning of why Bodhidharma coming to the West? He said, no meaning. So why? Why he said that? Because this is already dead koan. And this is not even any chance. And when people heard that, it's going to inspire them to enlighten. And so it's literally like a one casket have a two dead body in there. So when he seeing people asking this question, and the student asks this question to the master, it's like you engage in something totally meaningless. It's not going to help you to practice. It's not going to pique you and to reveal your Buddha nature. It's dead, totally dead, functionless, useless talk.
好，所以呢，有人如果在问你们祖师西来意呢，哎，你们就可以回答西来无意。为什么？因为就是已经死掉的公案了，所以不需要再用了，所以你就要用别的才有办法这个看见你的佛性。
So if you ever have an opportunity, people ask you, what is the true meaning of why Bodhidharma coming from the West? So you don't need an answer, because this is a totally dead, functionless koan.